بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. Some etiquettes are based on experience. There may not be Shari'i laws, but with experience you understand that this is appropriate and this is not appropriate. Like a student comes to the madrasa, then we may ask him to observe about 4 or 5 things. We may ask him that if he can manage, he shouldn't get into nikah. Now, if that student turns around and says, "من تزوج فقد استكمل نصف الإيمان," nikah is half a iman, right? So how do you answer him? He may just turn around and tell you that, "Well, you're preventing me from half iman." So we're going to tell him that we're not disputing the importance of nikah, but the studying and the nikah is difficult to reconcile. And not because the nikah is difficult, but because of the present lifestyle, the demands are quite high. When the demands are quite high, then you can't show the type of attention that is needed. Right? You can't show the type of attention that is required, then you won't be in nikah properly, and you won't be in the madrasa properly. So then we'll ask the student, "All right, what you do for now, we just postpone the nikah. We will acknowledge the importance of the nikah. We will not say that it's not important. And we'll also insist on you that when you have studied, you must do your nikah. But now, you will not be able to join the boat." So some things may be the requirements. The requirement may be not because it is a sunnah, not because it is farz or wajib, but because of the state that you are in, the condition that you are in. So you advise the person accordingly. Similarly, now a person that is studying, so we'll ask him not to carry a phone. So he may say, "You know, there's so much of dawah they can do through the phone. I can speak to people, call people to Allah Ta'ala, call to the masjid. And you're preventing us from da'wah." That you can, this can develop into an argument, a discussion. So we'll have to explain to him that, see, this thing starts off in a good note, and after that something progresses and adds on and continues until you reach a point where you can't concentrate on your studies any longer. So therefore we ask you, you, for the time being, you leave on the phone. Right? What do you tell him? So certain things are requirements, they're temporary requirements. And the requirement is because of the state that you are in. One friend of mine, so he went for boxing, learned to box. Right? So his trainer told him, "You know what, you must keep away from your wife for 4 weeks. Till the next session, you keep away." He came for the next session, and the trainer made out straight away, "You did something." Now, it's not that the trainer kept you away, but he knows now that you need that additional stamina, that strength to be able to perform properly. And if you don't, then you will not be able to perform like how we would desire to perform. We're not stopping you from this. But you know that when you're going to be intimate, then this energy is going to be sapped. You will not be able to perform how you are expected to perform. So here also the same. The self also, they will ask you to leave out certain things. So when they ask you to leave out certain things, it's not because it's a Shari'i requirement. But because of the convenience, we ask you not to do it. Like you're working for someone, then he will ask you to do certain things. So if you come from Monday to Saturday, so what about my 3 days, stopping you from 3 days in bringing Jamaat? So some things we'll have to explain to the person that why we are speaking to you in this way, it's experience, it's convenience, etc. Nobody is against the work. Right? Just as it's Zawal time, so we ask the person not to perform Namaz. So that if he turns around and says, "Stop being from Namaz," so he's misconstruing things. The hadith says that when someone is overwhelmed with sleep, right, then he must sleep. Then he mustn't perform Namaz, he mustn't read Quran Sharif at that time. Because maybe he intends, لَعَلَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَيُّسَبِّهَا فَيَشْتِمْ. He would intend to make tasbih and Quran Sharif, tilawat, etc. But when he is not in the state of mind, then some vulgar words may come out from his mouth. And then he'll be embarrassed. So if feeling sleepy, then it's rest for some time. Don't overdo it. So now these etiquettes are shown. These etiquettes are not shown because it's obligatory, faraz, etc. But it's based on experience. So the subject that Ustaz Muhammad is talking about here, I think today it's an international problem. First, I should think it's a national problem. Then, when I'm seeing what's going on, then it's an international problem. This whole lesson is called Tawheed al-Matlab. That's how they call it. It was my good fortune that when I went to Jalalabad, right, so I saw there was two ulama there, right? And they were perhaps a little senior than me. So I used to feel to myself that it won't be appropriate that I go to Hazrat first and they come later on. So we should be going in a group. I'm new now, I don't know what's the tartib. So I felt that that may be the more prudent thing, that I go a little bit with a delay when they are moving, then I just go behind them and go with them and go to the majlis. So Hazrat ji corrected me straight away. So that was a great thing by Hazrat Rahmatullah. You make a mistake and he corrects you on the spot. So now you know, alright, this is your mistake, you must take care of the mistake. So you see, come for your Islam, so your primary concern is yourself. This person, what he is doing, that person, what he is not doing, and what he is expected to do, that's not your business. Your primary concern is yourself. You just fix your mind on yourself. You're going to worry about this person here, about that person, and the third person, then that Tawheed will be lost. Tawheed means now your goal must be just one. Your mind mustn't be scattered into multiple things. Right? To worry about this thing here, that person, what he's doing and what he's not doing, or what he may think, what he may imagine, that you're acting too clever. Leave all that. Just concentrate on the purpose that you have come. You've got one purpose, one goal, and just concentrate on that. About 2 months later, then there was a South African Jamaat coming to Jalalabad. So now, I thought it would be rude and it would be ill-mannered not to take them on. I'm also new in the Khanka, and these people came for the first time. So I wrote my halat that this Jamaat came, and I felt it that in logo ki dil shikni hogi ki agar unko madrasa nahi dikhaya. They may feel hurt. Their feelings may be hurt that if I don't show them something and speak to them a little bit more than is required. So Hazrat's correction came ki dusro ki dil shikni se zyada apni deen shikni ki fikr. You worried about hurting people's feelings, the greater concern is don't hurt your deen. Now, when you are here in the Khanqa, the Khanqa is going to teach you a lot of discipline. And the discipline means that you have to work in tight parameters. Can't move this way, you can't move that way, just within the parameter. You're going to work on the parameter, after some time you'll understand what is discipline. And the discipline here is more mental discipline. Right. But now, you're not going to give yourself this chance to discipline yourself mentally, then you can't correct yourself. And then that's going to lead to you hurting and damaging your deen, because your concern for people's feeling is greater than your concern for deen. You have a concern for deen and you have a concern for people's feeling. But now, because you haven't got a proper understanding, a complete understanding, then sometime you may cross a border. What may happen is that the concern for the person's feeling may be greater, and in the process you may be encroaching onto the shari'i border. So first get the sharia thing right. The sharia thing you have to get it right, both mentally, physically and emotionally. So you got it right. When you got that right, now you're threading. But now perhaps you got it, you know the concepts, right? If you're studying at a madrasa, then you know the concepts. But now, have you got it mentally also? Like, you know, we say, mahabbat for Allah Ta'ala, the love for Allah Ta'ala, right? Now, obviously, to meet Allah Ta'ala, you have to pass the bridge of death. So, that's the procedure, that's how you reach Allah Ta'ala. So, as we are sitting now, do we have the love of Allah Ta'ala at that level that we are waiting for death so that we meet Allah Ta'ala? Can we say that? So now, to build that muhabbat, now these are mental things, these are emotional things, and these emotional things have to be built. When you build yourself, then you're looking forward to the journey. Now this is what it's aimed at, that you build yourself mentally, you see. There's so much of discipline within your mind that you just want to do it. You just feel like doing it, right? Namaz, you just want to do it. Dua, you just want to do. A recitation of the Quran, if you just want to do, right? You are eager in doing all these things, that eagerness, that yearning to do it, you want to do it. So to leave it out now, it becomes quite difficult for you. And to do it becomes like your nature, it becomes part and parcel of yourself. Right? So now this is called Tawheed al-Matlab. Now, when I say that this is an international problem, where the problem starts or from where it stems from, we think to ourselves that, alright, what's wrong in meeting this buzrug here, and that buzrug, taking his dua, and going to him, learning from him, benefiting from this person, benefiting from the third person, what's wrong in that? Right. Now what Sabir Hazrat is saying, this story took place in our presence. The story, and the reason for the story was, this youngster didn't have that Tawheed al-Matlab. I won't tell you the names and the place and the person, all that, but I know, I can remember very well that he was bi'at somewhere else. Somewhere else, he took bi'at and he's taking instruction and guidance from someone else. So his sheikh is telling him something, and he got someone else to give him zikr, instruction and guidance. Right? So can you see that mind, he's got a split mind. If he's going to be with his sheikh, he'll be doing something else. If he's going to be here, he's going to be doing something else. His mind is not going to be focused on one syllabus, on one curriculum. Sometimes he may think, alright, I'm going to do this, my sheikh may be disappointed. And sometimes he may think that if I'm not going to do this, this other sheikh is going to get disappointed. So his mind, will it be focused at any time? He's on the edge all the time. If I'm going to do this, he's going to be disappointed. If I'm going to do this, then he's going to be disappointed. No. His mind is not at ease, not calm. Now, for you to be able to benefit, then the requisite is, one is etiqad, right, and one is muhabbat, right. That etiqad requires that you need to feel mentally that my matlab is only here, it's confined to this. I can't get my matlab anywhere. What I'm in search for is special level of tazkiyah, right, a special level of relationship with Allah Ta'ala. It's just going to be here at this point. I can't get it anywhere else. So he needs to have that level of confidence. That's called etiqad. And in my study, he must think, would that, in the words of Hadith of Prophet Muhammad, would that he must feel that in my search, this is the person that is most appropriate for me. In my search, my understanding. Why are you saying that? Because who is the best? Allah Pak knows. Allah Pak knows who's best, who's most appropriate, who's most expedient, who's most experienced, that Allah Pak knows. But in my search, my understanding, this person seems to be the best candidate for my work. There may be great people, you know, disputing their merit, their esteem, and their righteousness. But for my work, my purpose, this person is the most suitable. Right? So I must just hold on to him. Right? Now, what happens here is, see, people's minds have become a little bit weak. So they can't reconcile things. Now, when they can't reconcile things, so everything becomes a problem for them, mental problem. Why this happened? Why did this happen? Why did he do this? Why did he have to say this? So your mind has got a reservation. A reservation who? In the one that is guiding you. So I ask you, if you are reserved, you have some reservation, will you be listening to the person wholeheartedly? Can you listen? Because you've got reservations now. But why did he do this? Why did he do this? So you're going to have reservations. And as you have reservations, then the flow will not be like it's supposed to be. The requirement is that there is an even flow. The flow must be just carrying on straight. No, absolutely no reservation. He must just go straight. So, sometimes the Shaykh may do something abruptly, right? Sometimes it may appear to be wrong. What he's doing may appear to be wrong. Though it's not wrong, but it may sound that it's wrong. You have to just close your eyes and tell yourself, I come for some work here. I have to do my business. I'm not concerned of what's going on here. You have to tell yourself. Well, Haji Sahib Rahman is one senior Khalifa, Mullah Sadiqul Yaqeen. So one person came to take bayat at his hands. So, one Sadiq Sahib tells him, say, La ilaha illallah, Sadiq Rasulullah. Right? So, two people came. One person heard this, he escaped straight away. The other person heard this, he repeated the words, La ilaha illallah, Sadiq Rasulullah. So, one of Sadiq Sahib is asking him, how did you say Sadiq Rasulullah? So he says, sometimes the Mubtada is Muqaddam, sometimes the Khabar is Muqaddam. Doesn't it happen in Arabic language? Sometimes the Mubtada is Muqaddam, sometimes the Khabar is Muqaddam. Rasulullah Sadiqun. Now, is there any doubt? No doubt. But now, he has to clear the mind. Now that person says, oh, hey, I made a mess now. Now enlist me now. So the test is finished. Go over. You fail the test. So they do this type of test. Why they do the test? To see the level of your confidence. Because now, if the confidence that is required is not there, then he can't instruct you freely. Then for everything that he's going to instruct you, they have to give you a reason. I'm telling you this because of this. And if you're not going to do this, then this won't happen. So the Shaykh has to tell him everything. And If it is that he saw something in the shaykh, now he's going to have doubts again. Again, reservation. Why did he do this? Why did he do this? One person, more time is up, Rahmatullah, is one uncle, Mamu, was Imdad. To call it Mamu Imdad. Right? Great Buzhul also he was. So, now you have all types of people. So one person, you get a class of people that wants to instigate, cause problems, or speak ill about him in his presence, right? Speak something bad about you in his presence. Why? To turn the person away. So you get all these type of elements, and you have to be very firm. Now, this is the world you're living in. You know, the hadith warns you, من خبب رجلا على زوجه or امرأتا على زوجها, right? You instigate uksana, to incite one against the other. So, why the person incites? He incites because he wants to turn the person away. So he'll incite you. Or he's got a vendetta. Something happened and he's got some hurt. His mind is hurt, right? When his mind is hurt, so therefore he wants to express it now. So how he'll express it? He'll express it by doing this. So the confidence must be very great. Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to perfect this thing here, then the knowledge must be like a muhaddis, administration like a king. So you're not worried. A king has got a level of independence. He's got a level of freedom. I'm the boss, I'll call the shots. So when he's got that level of freedom, then he can instruct freely. But if he doesn't have that confidence, can he instruct freely? I mean, he can't instruct freely, then his juniors, can they go right? Because everything he wants to instruct now, he's got some reservation. So how can he go? So you need the intelligence also of who of a muhaddis, so intelligent. Yesterday I gave an example. You can't go and relate everything to every person. Every story doesn't have to be related to every person. Right? And I gave an example yesterday. Someone says something about this person. Right? So it's not for you all the time to come and tell him that, you know what, this person says this about you. Is it the truth? It's not for you to say it. Someone says about, for example, a great alim now, you know, now this alim has left this madrasa, right? Because you was the instigator, right? You caused some problem, so therefore he left. So you heard the story, so you go and approach that alim directly. Did you instigate? So why? Because someone is talking about you being the instigator for him leaving the madrasa. Now, is that the thing to do? Now, common sense tells you, but you're not supposed to do this thing here. Why? Because if you've got a degree of respect and confidence, you won't talk like that. See, for example, someone says that your mother had an affair before marriage, right? 10 people, right? Then she was married. Right? Will you have the heart to go and ask your mother, you had some affairs. Why won't you do that? Ask yourself, why won't you do that? The respect becomes a barrier. Now, if you don't even have that brains, you say, no, you must be transparent, you must be clear, say everything as it were. Ma, did you do this thing? Tomorrow, someone says, you know, but your father, he was drugging one way. Man drags, and he was peddling. That's how he came rich. You think he just came right? From the air, he just came right. No, he was sending it back. He was robbing this person here, he hit this person down here, all this he did. Now he's like a buzrug and all that. But that was his day. So will you go and ask your father, Abba, you are drugging at some point in your life. Will you ask him? Why you won't ask him? So the same with your sheikh. You don't want to ask now, this person is saying this about you, so are you like that? Or were you like that? you don't have that common sense, you cause a problem. First of all, you're not supposed to be listening to this. If someone says, you know, your mother, she did this, and she does this all the time, you know. So you want to, are you going to approach your mother? Says, Ma, they say you're selling your body, and all, why are you doing this? You have the confidence, the level of respect, etc. for your mother. You won't ask these things. But now, the man that is a little bit too modern, you know, ultra modern, he says, I must be transparent, must ask everything, say everything as it is. But he'll go and ask. But now, at that point that he asks his mother, now how will the mother feel about the child? She'll have the same love, attention, mahabbat, understanding. Ma, I know you didn't do it. I know you didn't do it, but just to clear my mind, I'm asking. You see? So you get this elements, and unfortunately, you get more of these elements nowadays. This type of elements, you get even more instigating, one against the other. You get it even more. So one person came and spoke to this Mamu Iddad, that's the uncle of the Mawad Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi. He's not an alim, but look at the confidence. So this person, these people escalate many a times because of the confidence, the respect they have. So he said, no, we heard that your Sheikh, he is playing around with women now. Sleeping on Swanya, sleeping that side, sleeping, going everywhere. Now look at his response. So he said, hey, Alhamdulillah, man, you cleared my mind. Alhamdulillah, you cleared my mind. You know, I saw my Sheikh, I saw he's such a pure person, and he won't even have the thoughts, you know. He won't even have these thoughts of being intimate. Then I should feel sometime, but is he a man also? But now you said that he's been sleeping with this one here and that one and that one. So I confirm that he's a man. Number two, if you say that he's been sleeping around, so what's there for Allah about? He'll make istighfar one time, Allah will wipe him off clean, so what? But I see that mind. No, our minds are so strong. That's why I say our minds are very weak. We hear something or we see something, and we can't just digest that thing. We can't digest it, and we'll have a reservation for the person. When the reservation comes in, you can't move. You try what you want, you can't move. So that's called Tawheed al-Matlab. So you have to tell yourself, but I haven't come to see what he's doing and what he's not doing. I have to learn something from him. And I come to learn something from him, then let me learn the thing. You went to a mechanic. If the mechanic is smoking now, does it affect your business? But I haven't come to see you smoking. I have come for my business. I'm not worried about how much you're smoking and what you're smoking. That's not my business. Yes, I've come to learn from you, or I've come to get this car sorted out. So I'm just here with you for my business. Not to see what you're doing, how you're behaving, and what you're not doing. That's not my work. See now, the people of the past, that's how the mind used to be. The confidence wasn't shaken by anything. Anything happens, but the confidence isn't shaken. Obviously now, a person goes out of Islam, it's a different thing, but the confidence isn't shaken. See this, you know that story that is quite popular about, that Sheikh Abdullah Undulusi. And he's following, he had a 70,000 following, madrasas and what he had, right? And the following, they broke up and they continued for Hajj. When they reached Makkah Mukarrama, they saw the Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah, right? Or which of us seen, I remember the Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah. And now in their desperation, they related the entire story, this is what happened. They said, you people have done this terrible thing. Is that the level of attachment for your Sheikh? I'm saying now, see that muhabbat. If it was your father, for example, and something like this happened to your father, what will happen to you? Will you break up your attachment entirely? Or will become even more perturbed? Hey, I need to get my father right. What is he doing now? Your love for him will become even more active now. Yeah, I need to do something. So the Junaid Baghdadi Ramzai reprimanded them. Is that the way that you do things? You should have just stayed in the spot, cry to Allah Ta'ala for as long as you could. Right? Cry, keep on crying for a year, whatever. But Allah Ta'ala, please turn his heart to him. And he went off now. Now, is that your attachment? Is that your affinity? Is that you're born with him? Now, you just saw him doing this, right? And you broke it completely from him. Is that your attachment? See now, what type of a tawheed matlab? That even if you saw him wrong, right, you can't join him in the wrong. But your affinity, your love, and your muhabbat is not going to be affected. Now you return to Allah, 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 guide him, bring him right, show him the right, Allah. Let him leave this thing here. You'll cry as much as you can for a year, 2 years, 5 years, you'll do it. Now they heard this thing here, they went back to the spot and start crying. When they cried, the Shaykh began to cry. When the Shaykh cried, then the animals that he was grazing, they began to cry. And then when that crying atmosphere came, Allah Pak likes them, you see. فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا. Allah Pak likes it. When you encounter a problem, then they fall on their knees and they cry, they plead to Allah Ta'ala. So this pleading to Allah Ta'ala, crying, dropping yourself before Allah Ta'ala, this is something that Allah likes too much. فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا, crying, asking Allah Ta'ala, begging Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Pak likes this. One friend of mine, the Shaykh had a certain style, had a certain approach. Now, people that were not familiar, right? So they won't know what's going on. He's got a plan in mind, right? Now, the Shaykh is stationed in Medina Munawwara, Ulum al-Sharia, that was the madrasa, right? Nikal jao yahan se. Bistar ban karke nikal jao. Usko nikal do yahan se. So he got shaken up. He got shaken up. Now, this is my friend, close friend. So he went straight to the Rose Mubarak. He was crying there. For 3 hours he cried there. He came back. Bhai, ye to islah ka muamla tha. باقی وہاں جا کر کے شکایت کرنے کی کیا ضرورت تھی آپ کو. See that. And the same day came Khilafat after them. But now, he wanted to see now how firm this person is. I'm going to shout him, what's going to be his response? How will he take it? Will he take it? What is his response? Will he break? Will he be able to manage or not? So I want to see now what's the level of this person's commitment. So I have to shout him and shout him. I want to shout him terribly. I want to see now how he responds. See. So it's a style that if the Shaykh told you in advance, see, today I'm going to shout you. So you must just be calm. So that will be an act. That will be play. Won't that be a play? In a play, everything is rehearsed, right? He is like to give one high hard punch, and that character is crying, right? So there's all a play that. But now it's being acted real, it's acted real. Now you want to see now what's going to be the person's response, how do you respond? So you see this ethical. So this type of things the Shaykh does to see the person's ethical. What's the level of ethical? Now his trust is there. And with the trust, then there is an element of muhabbat. So now the trust would require that in his Islami matters that he doesn't listen to anybody as though he's blinded. See, it's like that horse that's got the blinkers. He's not going to ask why, and he's not going to ask the second person, and the third person, and the fourth person. So the blinkers just listen to one. That confidence is so much. I don't listen, I don't need to listen to the second person, not to the third person, not to anybody. Just one person, I'm just going to do this. So your mind is clear. He feels free to tell you as he wants. Right? So the flow is too good, right? I say what I want, and I know this person will execute. So, the benefit is then the benefit is tremendous. But if the sheikh has got some reservation, or the murid has got some reservation, then you don't get the flow like you would like. And many times you're sitting here, but you can make it out. You can perceive that this person's heart, is it closed, or is his heart open? Right? Is the heart open, or is the heart closed? And you can make it out. See? I'll give an example here. It's of a child, right? So the child needs to be milked, right? So the child has got his auntie's for his khalas and all, he's got that. But if it's a time for milk, the child is not going to go to the soy, nor to his khala. He'll go direct to his mother. Then we'll respect. So the other buzugana deen, etc., we'll respect them, we'll take the du'as. But as far as our direction, correction, islah, rectification, we'll just focus on one. We're not going to look this side, not going to look at that side. But the student that is talking about, I saw that person. I know what you are doing. And too beautiful, the dreams were too beautiful. I don't think anybody wants this type of dreams. Too beautiful dreams. Sahaba Ikram, Rasulullah Barsan, a lot of things you should see. But then, he did his own thing. Take something from here, make a kachumar, and he's moving. And then he had a mental breakdown. That I saw that. That I witnessed myself. He was to take from Dioban, he was to take a walk back to Jalalabad in the mid-heat, mid-summer, you know, when it's about 45, 50 degrees, he was to take a walk. So all the drama, I saw that. But that started off at this point where he mixed up things. So when he's got one share, right, then what was the need for him to take something else from someone else, the second person and the third person? When he did this type of things, he mixed it up. When he mixed it up, so this was the end. I know one person from this area, right, around here. This happened now, in Durban it happened, right? So, the Hakim will treat you in a certain way, right? And a doctor will treat you in a certain way. So the both approaches may differ. Normally, well, the approach of the Hakim is, the Hakim will say that there is something stuck in your system, and your system needs to be flushed out. Right? When that's flushed out, then as it clears up, then your body can build up energy. But now this thing is stuck in your system, so we're trying to putting something, but that thing is not responding like it's supposed to be, because there's something that is stuck in the system. So we need to flush it out. When we flush it out, then how much we flush? As we flush out, then your body will be energized. So that's the approach of a Hakim. And the doctor's approach is a different approach. Doctor's approach is that we need to push in the energy, right? As the body will be energized, the body will flush out the problem, see? That weakness that's there, the wrong that is there, the body will be energized. So it's energized, that body will flush out the... So they're both tartib is different. Both goal is the same, but the mannerism, the approach will be different. I know this person here. So that person mixed the both. Right. And sometimes the medicines are a little bit difficult, right? There may be toxic elements, etc., right? This person, I think in a year's time, the person died. But the reason was the same. When we heard from the doctors and all that, he mixed it up. Took something from here, took something from here, mixed it up, did his own thing. And that ended up that person dying. So the tartib is different. He's going on a different... His whole approach is different. His approach is different, and he wants to do his own thing. Now what happens? So this type of this lesson, I say, in this age, it's too important. It's tawheed matlab, and In my understanding, if the Tawheed al-Matlab goes right, then you will see the Islam going expedited. It's a pleasure, really it's a pleasure, it's an enjoyment. Like every coming day, it's a new experience. It's a new experience, like, you know, a new honeymoon. Today is something else, tomorrow is something else, and the third day is something else. But it's too beautiful. You don't want to just leave. But now that requires that the etiquette must be right, and the muhabbat must be right. The trust must be there, as is desired, a high, good level of muhabbat, right? And you see people coming, spending 1 year, and they don't want to leave. Otherwise, it was forced to be crying, like doctors, professional people, you know, professional people, local, foreigners, they come in, they cry. Others are positive now, they go, your wife is being advised now, can't be so long. You will stay here 1 year, 2 years, and your wife is screaming, that's right, I don't want to hear her curses now. Now go. You can come back again. But you see that attachment. But then I used to see now, what was happening at the beginning. He puts them to the mill, right? Small mistakes, correcting, rectifying. Sometimes we know who's being directed, right? But in a general majlis, the man is catching it. But the man comes out, he's got a smile on his face. He's got a smile on his face. You know, important people, like a Shaykh al-Hadith, whoever. Everybody knows who's being aimed at, right? But the man comes out, perfect smile. But the bond that grows after that, that's too good. They don't want to leave. They attach so much. See that, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ, that muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, it grows like this. Because now, Allah Ta'ala is also watching, what is the degree of this person's loyalty? If his loyalty for his Shaykh is so much, that what will be his degree of loyalty for me? Otherwise, if that loyalty is not there, now one small musibah came in his business, now he's cracked. So he's not listening to Allah Ta'ala, not happy with Allah Ta'ala as it's supposed to be. Because some problem came in his business, health, child, something happened, right? So that loyalty, that respect that he's supposed to have, that affinity, is not like it's supposed to be. But if it is that the affinity and that love is there, then it will be a joy. As a Shaykh Ramat Ali, he lost his one son, right? And he didn't express any feelings at the time. He didn't express any feelings. So his uncle, Ilyas Ramat Ali, reprimanded him. Bacha fought away, or tum kuch gham khate bhi nahi. So, what I admire of his Shaykh, Muhammad Lali, his adherence to the Hadith. And across the board, right? If he said that Rasulullah SAW lived in an unbaked brick house, then he built that house, like Kacha Makan. Can you do it? He lived it like that. And if he said, for example, there's no such a thing like waba and all that, right? Like epidemic and virus and all that. So the house that he was staying, it was known that, you know, there's a lot of jinnat and asarat and all that. He stayed there because of the hadith that no such a thing. He stayed there. And he lost 1-2 children, but he stayed. So his commitment was too great. So when his father, his uncle, Jack Kimmel, but reproached him, right? So he quoted the hadith, you know, about Hazrat Talha and Umm Sulaym radiyallahu anha. Kayfa tifl huwa askanu ma kan. And Imam Bukhari got on tarjumah there, you know, Babu Mallam Yuzhir al Gham or something. The person that doesn't express the. So now, he was at a different level, right? He was at a different level. He was living the hadith. If somebody comes to the hadith, it's living. No. Perhaps now, his uncle had seen, alright, what's the level of his attachment. So this Islam becomes a real, real enjoyment, you know, when this comes right. When this comes right, then after that, the whole journey, that's a real, real experience. It's too good, it's too great. You're just looking for the next day now. Ab kya hoga? What's going to be told to us now? How do we take it from here? What do we do from now? So Allah Pak also looks at your muhabbat, you know, al-baru ma'a man ahabba, and he looks at your level of loyalty. He sees that and then it pushes you, it smooths you. Allah Pak, tawfiq, tawfiq.